We will all be held accountable for what we have been given by the Lord and how we've used it, which is, I think it's important to remember, but we also want to see what Jesus says here, and there's one key word that I think we need to make sure that we absorb that word, because if we don't hear this one word, then we'll miss how we're supposed to use our gifts. So Jesus told his disciples this parable: a man going on a journey called in his servants. They're his servants. They're his servants. And he gives them all these talents. Now, a talent is a weight. It's a measurement in weight. If it was a talent in gold, it would be worth this much. If it was a talent in silver, it'd be worth this much. If copper, this much. So we don't know exactly how much money this is, but in some renderings, it could be about 20 years' wages for a laborer. So that's what a talent is. But again, it depends on, is it a talent of gold or a talent of silver? Okay. So he gives them, according to their ability, he gives them this weight of money. And he does not expect them to have all of the same results, of course, but he does expect them to take his money and use it in his service. And in this case, it's make more money. Okay, that's the analogy. This is not what Jesus wants his church to do. Here's how much money you have, now go make more. No, that's not it. But the reality of serving him with what we have, which literal talents or money or time, you know, we talk about this as stewardship. It's probably the most boring word. I remember hearing like homilies when I was a kid on stewardship. I don't know. It just reminds me of like the 80s and like a smell of stale coffee and the coffee and donuts. I don't know why, but it was like, this is the boringest thing ever. Be a good steward. And yet it's actually an important word, because what it means is we've been entrusted with something that is not our own, but we are to have, we often like the word ownership. You have to have ownership of the process. You have to have ownership. Do you have ownership? Well, actually, often when that word is used, it's actually more like stewardship. Not every time, but a lot of the time. And it means we have been entrusted with something that we didn't give ourselves, and we're going to be held accountable for. So if I take everything that I have, my money, my time, my talent, and I use it in my own service, I have just robbed God of his money, time, and ability that he gave me. I have taken the gifts that he has given me and said, yeah, I see that you've entrusted me with these things as your servant, but I'm going to be my servant instead. It's not just. It's unjust. And this is what, you know, in a lot of people, and you know, not to pick on atheists or anything, but just to point out the atheism that can be operative in us. I don't mean like we don't believe in God necessarily, just sometimes we live as though we don't. Like we act as though we don't really believe in God when we don't see everything as his. Now, there is a real sense in which your belongings are your belongings. Why does the Bible say thou shalt not steal? Because it's your belongings. Why does it matter that it's yours? Because if you don't have responsibility for that, no one will. Personal responsibility before the Lord is really important. And that's what this drives that home. But responsibility for what? For serving him. For offering all that we have back to him, and for the good of others, and for his glory. So, like I said, there's time, there's your money. And by the way, we all have a lot more money than we think. If anyone hasn't been to the Dominican Republic yet, you know, or a mission trip to the third world, it's really eye-opening. It changes your perspective on, oh, I need to get this thing. And you're like, need is not the right word most of the time, okay? There are things we need. There are things your children need, okay? So that's fair as far as it goes. But we do have a lot of money. We have a lot of money. So our time, our money, and our abilities. Why do we not employ them in the Lord's service? Maybe first and foremost, we don't realize that we're his servants and that everything we have should be to let's say, seek the lost and serve the poor, to just put it in a, you know, broadly. And what is the greatest gift that you have? Like, what is the most precious possession that you have? Okay. So being entrusted with the message of salvation entails great responsibility. To sit on that message or to bury it for ourselves is a serious breach of responsibility to the Lord, who calls us to share his good news with the world. He does not want us to give it back to him unshared and unfruitful. The knowledge that you have about God and about his kingdom and your relationship with Jesus and your that is the most precious gift that you have. All of God's good gifts, we want to be generous with them. But he does not want us to give that gift back to him unshared and unfruitful. All of you, through your confirmation, and some of you are preparing for confirmation, that sacrament gives you the grace, a special sacramental grace, okay, to share the gospel, to be a witness for Christ in the world, to be filled with a fuller outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a fuller outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's the one sacrament that's not so much for you. Maybe that's not the only one. Like, holy orders isn't so much for me. It's more for you than it is for me when I got ordained a priest. It wasn't so I could go say mass in my house. I mean, I do that on my day off. Okay, I do. But it's for you. Confirmation is very similar. It's not when I was confirmed. It wasn't so much for me. It does seal and strengthen the spirit of adoption in us as God's sons and daughters. So it's not that it isn't for me. It is wonderful. It is a wonderful gift that the Lord would use us to share the good news with others. So in that sense, yeah, it is for us because we get to be part of the Lord's work of bringing people to know Jesus, to share the faith. But first and foremost, it's for those other people in the church and in the world who will benefit from the gifts that you have, the gifts that you use, the gifts that you're not afraid to employ in the service of the King. So today we're actually about to celebrate a confirmation for Michelle, who has been prepared to receive this sacrament. And that great gift that she's receiving just in a minute here, I just want you to think about, am I used? Like, what were the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Do you remember what you asked for when you got confirmed? Hopefully you did. Hopefully you thought about it. And it's okay if you didn't. It's not like, oh, it's too late. You know, like, oh no, I didn't make a wish before I blew out the birthday candle. It doesn't work that way. But how does the Lord want to pour forth his gifts in and through you into the world, into the church? Just think about that. You know, some of those gifts are totally just there for you to have for sure. Wisdom, knowledge, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. There's no question that's what the Lord gives you. He is 100%. He's 100 for 100. He's always going to give that. And then some of them are more unique. A gift of healing or a gift of administration or a gift of teaching. Okay? The gift of being an apostle and, you know, establishing the gospel in a new place. There are all these different gifts that the Lord gives, but it's the same Spirit who gives them all to each of us according to his measure. How does he want to use you? And we can be afraid of that because we don't want to, I don't know, it's kind of like singing in church, you know? Some people are scared to do it, but the more people around you do it, the more you want to do it, I think. At least that's true for me. And you realize that the more you sing, the better you become. I mean, that's for a few people that are hopeless probably, but I mean, really for most of us, and maybe there's no one truly hopeless. I don't know. No one's truly hopeless? She says no one's truly hopeless. Okay, so why if you're not good at singing, it's probably because you don't do it enough. If you think I'm not good at this, I'm no good at talking about Jesus. Well, you probably just don't do it enough. Well, I don't know how to tell my own story about how God's, you probably just haven't tried it enough. We just need to not bury the gift in the ground. Like, don't bury the talent in the ground. Don't, out of fear, bury it in the ground. And then the master comes back and you're like, well, I never tried. I just buried it in the ground because I was scared. You know, I thought I might lose it. He's like, well, you're going to lose it now because I'm taking it away from you because you haven't been a good steward. I gave you this to use it. There's so much freedom where the Holy Spirit is Lord. There, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he wants us to be free to use the gifts that he's given us. We don't always know what those are, like I said, until we start to employ them. So I want to invite you to think about, again, your own confirmation and ask the Lord, what are the gifts that you have given me? What are the ones that you want, like, you've given me and you want me to use? Because I want to make a good return on what you've given me. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your master's joy.